good morning, and we should get going just to keep on time today, because I know you've got busy schedules as well. My name's Paul Edwards. I'm the head of corporate communications, and welcome to our much-anticipated technology briefing. I'd just like to introduce a couple of speakers we've got today. Graham Hodges, who is our Deputy Chief Executive Officer, and Anne Weatherston, of course, our CIO. The format for today, Graham is here to do a bit of a recap of our business strategy. I know many of you from the IT media, and we thought it might be useful just to recap what ANZ's strategy is, and then in particular how that strategy is driving our technology strategy. And Graham will talk for around 5 minutes or so. Then Anne will talk to our technology roadmap, which we've recently finalised 2017. She'll talk around sort of 10 or 15 minutes. Then we'll have time for question and answers. We've got a break, but we've then got a couple of brief demonstrations of some of our systems from our retail institutional area, which should take around 30 minutes. We should wrap up all in 90 minutes or so. A reminder too, we've got people on the phone, I think about 20 people on the phone in addition to this. In fact, I think we've got more people at this press conference than our results. And so, if you could use the mics for questions, that just helps the people on the phone with questions. We're also recording Graham and Anne's presentations. That'll be on anz.com in an audio file around noon today, if you need to access that. So without any further ado, I'll hand over to Graham.
Yeah, thanks very much, Paul, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and those on the phone. As Paul said, my comments are more by way of background for today's presentation, and really, I guess, particularly for the IT media, who probably don't have the time or the interest to follow the banking side as specifically, and particularly around our group strategy. So in 2007, ANZ embarked on what it called its super regional strategy, which was really building on our strong home market positions in Australia and New Zealand and focusing on expansion, particularly in the Asia-Pacific region. And I think from our super regional strategy really is a compelling strategy for several reasons. First of all, the economic growth in the Asia-Pacific region has been very strong and is expected to stay strong for the next couple of decades. So, you know, for instance, it's around 7.5% of GDP on average through the region versus, say, 3 to 3.5% in our home market. So that sort of growth provides a great opportunity to grow your business and perform over the longer term. The second reason is that the trade flows between Australia, New Zealand and the Asia-Pacific region have continued to grow and grow strongly. And we expect that to also continue over the next, couple of decades. And what we're seeing there is that the connections between the regions will be more important for Australian and New Zealand businesses. And we want to be able to support our businesses as they do that work within the region. But we're also seeing flows coming the other way as well. So, for example, 8 out of Australia's top 10 export markets are in the Asia-Pacific region, and 7 out of the top 10 markets where we import from are in that region as well. And we know from our own customer research that over 40% of our customers rely on the business in the Asia-Pacific region for more than 25% of their profits. So it's large already, but growing. A third reason is that when you look at the markets in Asia, one of the main contrasts between that and the Australian market is that the banking system there has a surplus of deposits over loans in that market, and it's the opposite way in our Australia and New Zealand markets. And that means that there's good liquidity in the market there to fund the growth that we want to do in the region. But it also means that we're able to tap into some of that surplus liquidity and use it to fund our balance sheet in the Australian New Zealand market. So at a consolidated level, it actually provides a stronger bank position for us from an overall funding perspective. And that's been important in recent years when funding has been an important topic for all banks as part of the global financial crisis. And then I guess the last point I'd make is that the links that we're building through the region because of the strengthening trade and capital flows, means that our performance in our domestic businesses should be enhanced through this period as well. So we not only see that reflected in the performance of our business within Asia, but also the businesses in our home markets too. I think when you look at one of the fundamental factors there, what's really significant if you look forward a couple of decades is that growth within the region, the Asia-Pacific region, is growing more quickly than the growth between Asia and Europe and Asia and the US. And it's already almost the size of both of those areas combined. And I think what's significant about that is that it's actually... as a result of the acquisition we did in RBS and our domestic expansions, our organic expansions, is that we've now got a very good footprint across the region, and we're starting to see the benefits of that intra-Asia growth flowing through into our business as well. So I guess in sum, if you like, with the strategy that we've got, ANZ's requirements and priorities are different to a domestic-centric bank, and I think that's reflected both in the way we do our business and also the support for our business as well. If we look at this next chart, it really shows that we, at a group level, we focus on five broad customer groups or segments, and they also reflect our business, our lines of business as well across the region. So that's obviously institutional, corporate, commercial, wealth, and our retail businesses. And our operating model differs for these various businesses. So on the right-hand side of this chart, in the darker blue, the corporate institutional, they tend to be a regional or a global focus, reflecting on the nature of the business of those customers, where we're really looking to support the customer requirements around, you know, managing multiple operations, often in a number of geographic jurisdictions, and also multiple trading activities, be it trade, cash management, capital markets activities, foreign exchange, interest rates, etc. So that's sort of a very much a linked up and a global way of, or regional way of looking at those businesses. At the other end of the spectrum, we have what we call a multi-domestic approach, which is really the retail, the wealth businesses, but also, say, small business in the commercial area, where they're more focused on activities in the local markets that they operate, so either in Australia, in New Zealand, or in the countries in Asia-Pacific. And the customers tend to be focused on the local markets, and we have to set up the businesses and our customer propositions to suit local market needs. So that sort of multi-domestic approach is something we have to do in order to support the businesses in those areas within the geographies we operate as well. So I think what we've got is the combination of both those operating in the business to most effectively support our customer needs. And you can see I've just got in a little bit of detail on this chart, and I won't go into it. We defined our customer propositions for these segments, and they are fairly common across the geographies, as are the growth or the target segments for those businesses in the geographies as well. I finally like to just comment a little bit on the fact that having the super-regional strategy has sort of shifted the group orientation to more a shared or a regional focus in the way we run the business. So if we think about those multi-domestic businesses that I was talking about earlier, the retail, the wealth, and some of the small, medium business, our models are really shifted to more shared or standardised products, services, or platforms, while still meeting the local customer needs. Whereas if we look at the regional lines of business or our global or regional lines of business, what we're trying to do is do things once in the group and you effectively become more location agnostic. And that's particularly true for those higher end customers, where you know, they want to be able to have a touch point with the group wherever they operate, and they want to be able to see their business sensibly, and they need us to be able to deliver for them in any of those geographies in the same way as we do across the whole of that group. So I think the other factor which I think is important, if you like, is that in all areas we aim to be more joined up around our customers, so integrating the services for the customers in a way which sort of suits their needs. These really have a number of benefits for us at a group level. I mean, first of all, having more shared or standardised processes or operations and doing things once across the group is good for efficiency. It allows us to provide a stronger customer service for our clients in all of our jurisdictions and really across the range of clients. And obviously that's good ultimately for revenue in the longer term. So it gives you a bit of a sense of the way the super regional strategy impacts our operations. It's not just in the technology space, which we're talking about today, but it's about corporate services. It's in other sort of services and products that we support the business. But today we're talking more about the technology side, and now I'd like to pass to Anne, and she can cover some of the aspects of the technology side of our super regional. Thank you.
Over to you.
Before I kick off, I think it's Hamish kindly gave me a copy of the latest CIO magazine. I thought two headlines on the front page here are particularly pertinent today. One says, the CIO role is no popularity contest. And the other, which is the new enterprise architecture, service-centered IT requires clarity and a unified vision. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So what have we been doing in the last 18 months? So in the last 18 months, the technology focus within ANZ has really been in four key areas. The continued delivery of projects to meet the business agenda that was called out by Mike when he first arrived in the bank. Upgrades to our infrastructure to respond to growing demand, scale and complexity of this new emerging super-regional business. A major restructure and realignment of our technology workforce to better align with the emerging demands of the next stage of super-regional. And more recently, as Graham alluded to, the definition agreement of a technology strategy to enable the next stage of ANZ super-regional agenda, which we've coined towards 2017. But if I begin by reflecting on the bank's technology journey in the last 18 months as a basis for explaining recent and planned activities. In 2007, the bank announced its strategy to create a super-regional bank of global quality but with a regional focus. And the strategy identified four key pillars of activity, of which one was technology. Now this strategy called out some very specific ambitions and deliverables for all major segments of ANZ's business to be delivered within 5 years, and these are called out on the slide. And these initiatives have been central to our development agenda in the last 2 years, and in all cases we're on track. So within institutional, we have designed and built a cross-regional cash management system called Transactive, and this is now available trans-Tasman and will be live in key Asian markets by the end of the year. In our markets, we've developed a very compelling integrated business and technology roadmap and architecture to enable our very large global markets ambition, and build has now commenced, and you'll see some of that later. In the consumer space, we've continued to invest in our brand sales capability and are investing heavily in our online channels. In New Zealand, we are migrating to a single platform, and in Asia, our technology focus has been on integrating and consolidating our new customer base on the back of our many acquisitions. More specifically, in parallel with all of this development activity, we have driven a significant program of activity to upgrade the capability of some of our critical infrastructure. The demands of our business have grown significantly in the last 5 years, and anticipating continued growth, we've upgraded core platforms in the last year, specifically our mainframe platforms and our tandem platforms. In addition, we implemented a full refresh of our online platform, and this has radically improved customer service, response time, and indeed our ability to leverage the same platform for other services, including our mobile devices, most notably GoMoney. An important point is that we conducted this change with minimal impact to our customers. In Asia, the infrastructure build has focused on enabling our new business acquisitions and leveraging the growing Asian customer base. In the last year, aided by our partner Singtel, we have implemented a largely new network capacity across the whole of Asia. And this is key to one of our core business objectives of connectivity. To place our business on sound footing, we've invested heavily in new data center capability in New Zealand, where we have a brand new state-of-the-art data center, and also in Asia, where we are in the process of building out from a recently acquired data center. While in Australia, we're satisfied that our data centers are fit for purpose. Within the data centers, we've embarked on an aggressive virtualization program, and this will continue. And work has already commenced to roll out a bank-wide virtual desktop capability. And because technology is at heart a people business, in the last 18 months, we've also undertaken a major restructuring review of our workforce. Super Regional depends on the design and build of significant new technologies, and it was important for us to understand and align our resources to that emerging agenda. As a consequence, we've realigned all of our technology staff into an entirely new operating model for technology to create a more universal professional services-based capability. In simple language, this means that from a customer perspective, we are regionally aligned but globally organised for execution and service provision. And this allows us to build real competency around key technologies and services, which is an essential foundation as we move to the next stage. We now have a very well, in-depth understanding of all of our people, their skills and their activities, and this also gives us the ability to align demand and supply resourcing very tightly. So as we go into 2012, this should drive higher levels of efficiency and much more effective execution. So all in all, a pretty busy 18 months. Moving forward, to talk about the strategy. During 2010, ANZ management team recognised that our 2012 aspiration was rapidly approaching and that actually we were well on target. So that triggered a desire to define and articulate the next stage of the plan. As a consequence, we've now defined and agreed a new roadmap for the bank's strategic agenda towards 2017. And this is a combined business and technology plan and is based around some key architectural principles. These are connectivity, the provision of cross-regional customer services, customer centricity, a joined-up ANZ experience, information-based, our information will enable our business, integration and standardisation, we will design and build for reuse, scale and flexibility. The focus is super-regional, but also country. From a technology perspective, this is not about core banking replacement. It's an architected approach designed to enable the next stage of the bank's agenda by deploying technology that is fit for purpose, integrated and standardised. We will continue to have three cores. Our business strategy does not currently require us to replace or consolidate them. Our analysis of the strategic requirements of ANZ's business has persuaded us that in the next immediate years, we are not constrained by the capability of our core systems. The focus for investment will instead be on the introduction of new technology capability that enables new business propositions and a better customer service outcome. And this can be developed and delivered by integrating into our existing platform. As a result, our technology roadmap looks rather more complex than a simple one-box vendor solution. This picture seeks to illustrate the approach. In reality, while it looks quite complex, this is actually the simple version, it's actually fairly simple. For our global services, we will have single end-to-end solutions integrated into the wider architecture. Specifically, this will include corporate centre services, market services, institutional and payment services. For our local and more specialised businesses, we will define point solutions as required. And this would apply in those services where the local markets are highly differentiated and need relevant technologies. This would be a driver in our regional consumer offerings. Across the bank, however, what is non-negotiable is we have defined and architected a single approach to our data, both customer and MI, our integration software, a standard design architecture, and our security and authentication access layer. Over and above that, we will continue to migrate to a standard infrastructure design globally. So, coming on, referring back now to some of the key architectural principles and what they mean. So with respect to the key architectural principles, they provide the basis for our business ambition, but also our design parameters. The principle behind connectivity is very simple. We seek to enable our customers to connect and transact with us easily from anywhere. We want to provide their local, their regional, and their global banking needs easily and seamlessly. This requires that our technology must guarantee and deliver the connectivity required to meet the customer service proposition. The technology components of the roadmap that will drive this outcome are specifically an increasing move to standard infrastructure, specifically our networks, which are now being engineered on the back of recent work to be media ready to deliver all types of applications, including voice, video, and prioritised business critical traffic. It also requires the implementation of our single customer registry that will allow us to track and connect our customers across services and regions. We will also create, or are creating, a new transaction management capability that allows us to connect across accounts and to individual processing platforms. This transaction manager will allow us to extend existing Australia customer services to our other regions. For example, immediate effect credits and debits is a facility that we've had available to our customers in Australia and New Zealand for a long time. And this has now been requested by our Asian customers, so we will seek to deploy it using our new transaction management capability. With respect to customer-centric, every bank in the world aims to be customer-centric, but we will make it real. We've defined our customer journey in ANZ, and this is the basis for our new channel and service proposition. At the heart of the customer-centric ambition lies the single global customer registry that I referred to earlier. This will take feeds from all of our customer systems in each of our countries and in our regions. It will match customer data to connect it to individuals and parties and systems. And this allows customer services to be provided in a common way cross-region. In addition, we are developing a new single portal proposition for our consumer and our corporate clients. This portal will enable us to consolidate and streamline customer access to relevant services, but once combined with the new transaction manager, to personalise those services. So the key elements for our customer-centric dimension of a technology platform will be the customer registry, the transaction management component, and the portal technology. Finally, the final principle I referred to, standardised systems and components, these two elements allow us to architect towards maximum reuse, scalability and flexibility. Standardisation starts with the business. And for our services that are offered as a standard across the region, we will begin by a single designed end-to-end business process that will provide the basis for systems integration. The services for which this would apply would be, as alluded to earlier, our corporate centre services, global markets, corporate banking services and payments. The solutions that we will deploy for these business services will be industry standard, and our principle will be minimum configuration. For local, more specialised services, as I referred to before, standard may not be an option with respect to our technology choices, but they will need to comply with the standards of the architecture, specifically around data and integration, and also some of our key service elements of the customer interface layer, specifically customer authentication. Our data architecture has been defined both at a customer and at a business level, and this will be deployed as the master across the whole of ANZ. With respect to integration, we have commenced the design and build of a single integration architecture where all services will be reusable, and this will be first and is in fact being already deployed across our transactive platform as we build out into Asia, enabling cross-border transactions and services. So to conclude on this section of the meeting, we've defined a new business and technology roadmap designed to facilitate the next stage of ANZ. That roadmap builds from our existing technology, but enables a more integrated customer outcome, which will increasingly be a super-regional one. We aim to build out our platform on an incremental basis, while introducing components that provide the super-regional glue. We will design and implement new cross-regional platforms for all of our shared internal and external services, which will be integrated with more local solutions through a single architecture for data and integration. Our customer interface will increasingly be a standard ANZ experience using standard technologies that facilitate a simple, seamless and personal experience.